Inside the Zone. Jason Swain, ball receiver, CEO of the Swain Event. Check him out online, swainevent.com. What's up, Swain? How are you?
I'm great. How y'all doing?
Doing well. Tennessee basketball giving a gift last night, Missouri beating Florida. So now, Swain, all they got to do to get that double bye is beat Florida on Sunday.
Yeah, plenty of motivation. Missouri opens the door up for Tennessee, and then, you know, Florida gave Tennessee a pretty good beatdown a couple weeks ago there at their place with a couple of their best players out. So Tennessee has all the motivation in the world. They've had a couple of days off to self-reflect and rest up. So it's go time. No excuses.
Am I – like, I've got a weird feeling that they're going to win that game on Sunday and actually go into the SEC tournament with some pep in their step. Am I wrong to think that? Am I way off base there?
I'm glad that you're optimistic. I'll say that. I mean,
but having said that, if people are like, well, you went to UT, blah, 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 blah. But I've said all year, I'm not betting on that team. You just don't know what you're going to get. But I think because of all the things you said, they're going to put out one of those good performances on Sunday.
Man, I hope so, Brent. I mean, I'll be honest, this is probably the least amount of optimism I've had about, the basketball team at this point. And, yeah. That game against Auburn, their best player out. You want to be playing your best basketball at the end of the season. And we didn't have a sense of urgency. We made several plays that just really didn't make sense. I mean, the play between Pons and Fulkerson at the end of the half, it was like, what's going on? I hope that Jaden Springer's comments, by the way, he's a true freshman, and that was kind of eye-opening. But it's something that we pretty much thought and said, but it was just different hearing from him. But hopefully his comments fuels this basketball team to get back on track and play like they're capable of playing.
Biggest problem is a point guard, right? I mean, because, like, it didn't take long for teams to figure out, if you get in front of Vescovi, he's not going to go by you. And it's going to take him, I don't know, 7 seconds to get the ball up the floor, right? And then the pace has slowed down just like that. They've tried everything, man. It's been wild to watch Rick Barnes and the rotations he's tried all year to figure out. I mean, you've seen every combination, just trying to get to that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a clear example that at the end of the day, it's about the players. You can have great coaches. I mean, go look around the country at Coach K and Coach Izzo, Calipari. I mean, there's so many teams struggling with Hall of Fame caliber coaches, Bill Self, but at the end of the day, it's the players. I mean, you got to have leadership, you got to have camaraderie. You got to have guys that, don't shrink in big time moments and guys that flourish when the game is on the line. And it's been a weird year, college basketball, but for this basketball team, for the how they started the season and kind of where they are now, it's just really weird, really weird.
SwainEvent.com. Because it's really weird, can this does this team have time to kind of have the light switch go off and figure it out and make a run?
I remember Kemba Walker when he was with the UConn, and they made a run in the Big East tournament and went on to win national championship. So I mean, you can get hot at the right time. I mean, we've seen Syracuse with Jerry McNamara, get hot and tear it up there during their time in the Big East tournament. So, I mean, the conference tournament is a great opportunity. And the SEC tournament, man, anyone has a chance to win. I mean, there hasn't been a team except for Alabama that really showed that they want to take the bull by its horn. So, Missouri at one point looked great. Tennessee at one point looked great. Florida looked like they were surging. Kentucky looked like they were turning things around. But it's just been a hodgepodge of inconsistency. And I think the SEC tournament is up for anyone's taking.
Here's another reason why Tennessee is going to beat Florida on Sunday. You ready? I'm going to go to the number.
I hope so, man. What you got?
I got win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. What's next?
What is this, like an ACT or something?
These are their last six games. They won, then they lost. Then they won, Then they lost. Then they won. Then they lost. What are they going to do Sunday?
I guess they're going to win, man. Feels like a Wonderlic test, too, man. Goodness gracious.
Did you ever take one of those?
Yeah.
For what?
I did.
And what purpose? The NFL?
Yep. I took one.
Did you feel like this sense of pressure while you were taking it?
Yeah. I feel like it was like the test of like the most important test of my life. It was bigger than any Western Civ test or ACT test. It was like the silliest questions ever. I feel like, oh my gosh, if I don't answer this right, no one's going to want me to play on that football team. It was a lot of test anxiety going on for sure, but you know, it was just silly questions. I mean, this stuff don't really make a big deal anyways, unless you're a quarterback or linebacker or a center or something.
Yeah, but it's the pressure, too, of the timed part of it. That's what got me, because then I started, like, second-guessing myself. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
I know this answer, but, oh, crap, I got to keep going because, you know, your time's about to be up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, no one's making fun of me on social media, so my score wasn't that bad, so I'm good.
I was going to say, I mean, that 36 went well, man.
I know, man. I'm mad they're keeping that a secret. They should let everybody know I had a perfect score.
It's funny, too. I've heard from football players that, like, because everybody is like, oh, I want to take the Wonderlic test. How did Vince Young get an 8? Let me see what happened. And you pull one up online, it's not the same deal.
Not the same.
No, it's not the same deal. But when you hear about him, you know, buying everybody at a restaurant there drinks and food, stuff like that. And, it kind of makes sense, right? It kind of makes sense. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, he was good at buying Patron shots, him and Lindell White. They were really good at that. They excelled at it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, you're the quarterback of an NFL franchise. Probably not smart to be doing that. Oh, okay, that makes sense with the 8 and the lick now.
Nothing against TGI Fridays, but that's where they were. Like Cheesecake Factory.
Those potato skins or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, a Patron shot with potato skins. I mean, that's, you know.
You better have something to eat if you don't have Patron shots.
So what's the latest with Heupel? What's going on? Orange and White game set for April 24th. I just told Don before the show when I read that. I'm anxious to see what that looks like. I want to see what the offense looks like.
Yeah, I mean that's the most intriguing thing for me. I mean, it's cool to see the players, like they're getting to know each other. Like it's weird. It's kind of like being in a house and everyone has their cell phones, you know, and then everybody puts the cell phones down and you start having a real conversation about asking each other about the day. It's like these players, they're actually getting a chance to know each other because of COVID and you know, the previous regime. So. You know, you're seeing some of the I guess the curriculum and the activities that they're doing, building trust and building leadership. But honestly, man, other than seeing what players enter the portal and Tennessee's able to get, the offense is the biggest story going into the spring.
Yeah, hearing Hendon Hooker might have an advantage, and it makes sense too when you talk about the quarterbacks, like because. They said that they're going to force feed them everything and just to see how they react. And you would think a guy that's had to learn an offense before, Harrison Bailey has too, but you know, one of his deficiencies I think was slow decision-making through routes. I keep forgetting that Brian Maurer is there and then you've got a freshman coming in. So maybe Hooker does have the advantage.
Yeah. Throw them all in the deep pool and see in the deep end of the pool and see who swims. And, you know, there's going to be some guys that need a life jacket. There's going to be some guys that don't. And you just roll with you know, who can handle it. I think you have to do that really with everybody because most of these guys on the football team, I don't know if Josh Heupel and company recruited them and they know much about. So, right. You know, throw it out there and see what they can handle, see what you need to scale back, see if the guys can handle it, and you can, you know, continue to add things.
Jason Swain from Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, with us on 3HL. And, you know, another thing, I was talking with our buddy Bubba Miller, Vol for Life Bubba Miller, and I said one of the things that I'm really intrigued to see about this offense is the offensive lineman running a play every 15 seconds. He just kind of shook his head. I can see the anxiety.
Man, I watched the bowl game between BYU and Central Florida, and I was watching Marcus Tatum, who transferred from Tennessee down there, and I was like, man, I don't know how those guys are doing it. I mean, they were snapping the ball, but like, you know, only like 6 or 7 seconds off of the play clock, and it's unreal. And those guys, they were not small. They were big guys. I mean, guys who were over 300 pounds. So it's going to be interesting to see, and it makes sense why Tennessee, you know, has a different strength coach. I mean, there's a certain type of training that goes into it, and Hyper wants to bring guys in that he trusts, and so that made sense right there. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a change for everybody. Receivers, you got to run 40 yards down the football field, not get the ball, jog back, and then run a route and not get the ball again, probably. Welcome to the world of being a receiver.
I love how the former receiver's laughing about that. Like, you just had this, like, giddy laugh about it.
It ain't funny,
that
man.
That ain't me anymore, though.
honestly, it's really not funny. It's terrible, but, I mean, what else can you do?
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, the two fastest teams I ever saw in Neyland Stadium was that Oregon bunch where you had the lightning storm during halftime. We all had to go, like, in the concession stands and everything. And then the Auburn team, remember with Trey Mason at running back? Mm. They would run a play to the right, for example, like a sweep. And before he's even tackled, the offensive line is already running back to the hash mark. I mean, it's the craziest thing I ever saw.
It was rough. That was the 13 Auburn
yes,
game.
Yes.
Yeah. That was hard to watch, man. I felt bad for our guys and having to line up against that.
But that's the goal, right, with this group. Yeah. And then we haven't even talked about what that does for the defense, who maybe just, you know, went through an 8-play drive and is looking at a 3-and-out.
Yeah, defense is going to have to be in shape, and it takes the right defense coordinator and right defense staff to be able to be able to handle an offense like that. Now, you know, Tennessee gets up and puts a lot of pressure on the opposing offense to have to, you know, catch up, and that can really be beneficial for the defense to pin their ears back, get to the quarterback, create pressure. I mean, you look at Georgia and Alabama game, and listen, I know we're nowhere close to Alabama and Georgia. I'm just using them as an example. One had the best defense in the country. The other had the best offense in the country, right? Well, what happened when Alabama's offense started putting up points? Well, it put pressure on Georgia, and they had to really get out of their comfort zone. They had to start throwing the football, and then Stetson Bennett was exposed, and then the rest was history. So, if you have an offense that can put up points, this is a new day and age of college football. It can really put pressure on your opposing team and make it easy for the defense. In Alabama's case, the defense wasn't that good. But they create turnovers when Georgia had to throw the football every down.
Have you heard about anything regarding access during, like, spring practice and things like that? Or are we still dealing with COVID stuff?
I don't know. I'm going to be there. I don't know about everybody else.
I've heard he's pro former athlete.
Well, I'm going to be there. You know, mask on, in my little bubble, whatever, hazmat suit, you know, Perel. Lysol, whatever I got to do, I'm going to be at practice.
What if you get one of those bubbles they bring out at, like, timeouts during a basketball game, you know, when you get inside and you run inside the bubble and try to knock people down? You could use one of those.
That's fine. I'll wear it, man. Whatever it takes for me to be at the practice. I will be at practice watching the offense, and I want to see firsthand, up close and personal, how Heupel installs his offense. So I'm going to be there.
At Swain Event on Twitter, swainevent.com is the website. He's the CEO. There's nobody higher up the chain at Swain Event than Jason Swain.
Right. That's right.
All right. Thank you, man. Good to talk to you.
Y'all have a good one. Thank y'all.